Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We bless God and give Him praise. This is Pastor Landis Fisher coming to you at this time. We thank God for another day's journey. Glad that you have decided to be with us here for the Bible study. Amen. And we're looking forward to getting into God's Word. For we are St. Timothy Christian Church, and I am also pastor. Thank God for some time of Street Gate Ministries. And so we are very happy to be here today with you to share this Bible study, and we hope that you are ready to get into God's Word with us. Amen. As you know, it is our custom to go before the Lord in prayer. Amen. Because prayer is essential. Jesus said men ought to always pray and not faint. In other words, don't give up. Keep on praying. God said He will be there with us. Amen. He is there to hear and answer our prayer. Amen. So we want to take a minute, as we always do, and invite the presence of the Spirit of the Lord to be the interpreter of His Word for us. Amen. Let us pray. Eternal God, we bless You. Father, we give You praise. We exalt Your name. It is a blessing, Lord, to be called by Your name. Father, You said, if My people who are called by My name would humble themselves and pray and seek My face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And Father, Lord knows we need a healing in this land, Lord, all around the world and even in the church. Father, so today we come to You as humbly as we can, Father, and we ask today that You forgive us of our multitudes of sins that go on in our own personal lives, Father. And we ask for victory over that sin. Father, we ask by Your Spirit that You give us what we need to defeat every evil thing that might be in our lives, Father. And we pray in intercession for our brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, that You would touch them in their lives, Father, and then come into their individual struggles and give them victory and power over the things that are not like You. And Father, You said that if we continue in Your Word, then are we Your disciples indeed, and that we would know the truth, and the truth would make us free. So, Father, help us understand that chain of events. Continuing in Your Word, being a disciple indeed, knowing the truth, and the truth making us free. Father, we thank You for that freedom right now. You said in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving to let our requests be made known to God. And You promised that the peace of God that passes all understanding would rule our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And so, Father, we pray that You give us that peace. You said that those who keep their minds stayed on You, You would grant them perfect peace. And so, Father, that's what we really want. We want that relationship where we are walking according to Your Word, where our mind is stayed on You, where we take our focus off the things of the flesh and the things of the world. And, Father, only You can grant that. And it has been Your decree that through discipleship and through Your Word, that these things would be possible. So You said man ought to always pray and not faint. So we come today, Father, in prayer. We ask You to help us today, Father. We need You and we lean and depend upon You. We can't do anything without You. But You said in Your Word that in Christ we can do all things. And so we come in faith, Lord, asking You that by Your Spirit, by the Spirit of Your Son, Jesus, who You sent into our hearts crying, Abba, Father, that we would be able to call on You as He did in His struggles, and that You will give us the victory that You have promised us in Jesus Christ. Bless every home and family that is represented here today, Father. We thank You for Your Spirit. We thank You for Your Word. And Father, we thank You for our brothers and sisters in Christ. And we thank You, Father, even for those who may be hearing this today who have not made a commitment to You. And we pray for them in advance, Lord, that You would give them conviction that they need to trust in Your Son, Jesus the Christ, and believe that You have raised Him from the dead and You promise that they will be saved. So we pray for their salvation. Father, comfort those who are bereaved, those who are healing. We ask for healing mercies, Lord God. Those who are hanging on, Lord, by faith for healing. Father, we ask You to bless them and let them have that breakthrough today. Father, we give You all the honor. We give You the praise. We give You the glory. We invite Your strength and Your knowledge and Your understanding into this Bible study right now, Father. Bless everybody who's tuned in under the sound of my voice. And Father, help us to get into Your Word today and help Your Word to get into us so that we can become better men and women than we have ever been. We give You the praise and the glory. It's in Jesus' mighty name we pray. And all the saints here together, amen, hallelujah. Thank God for what He has provided. Amen. We're going to go right ahead and get on to our topic. Some of you were with us on this past Large Day, and you know that if you were, that we were talking about education and implementation of the tools of discipleship. Now, we started to get into that topic there on this past Lord's Day, and we said that there are various things that God has provided for me and you who are the heirs of salvation. In other words, those of us who have trusted Christ and believe the gospel, that God has raised him from the dead, and this is what the church was instructed to go and teach. But he also supplied us with things that we need, you and I need, in order to execute the things that God has promised that me and you would do. And so, therefore, we start talking about those things. It involves education. Once again, now, a lot of people, I hear contradictory statements about these things all the time. This is why we like to take time and biblically explain what we're talking about, because there's more to it than necessarily how you feel. And it's not about, we want to get a balance on this. It's not about how much knowledge you have of the truth, because there were people who had a lot of knowledge about the word and they didn't have the right spirit about the knowledge that they had. And so those people, Jesus rebuked them. So it's necessary to get that balance. One of the tools that we need is to have a balanced understanding of what God has said and what he means by what he said. And so that's where we want to study. That's why the scripture says, for example, Paul, who is teaching his understudy, Timothy, he writes and he says, study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, that's a very explicit instruction. Timothy was a student of the Lord. Paul expected to disciple Timothy, to leave him so that he could be in charge. He was a younger person. Paul didn't teach things that were kind of obscure. He knew that he was an older person, and that time, if Jesus didn't return, he wanted somebody on board to be there to lead the church, to continue teaching the doctrine that Jesus had taught. That's why we said this on our study. We talked about it, and I think it's a phenomenal thing to think about the fact that Jesus Christ spent 3.5 years teaching 12 people. So how important is teaching? That right there should speak volumes to you and me about the importance of teaching. You know, and even after he had left, he said, there's a lot of more stuff I want to share with you, but you are not able to bear it right now. He understood it was going to be a growth process, that it was going to take some time for you guys to digest the things that I've told you. And they weren't even getting the things he had already taught them in the 3.5 years in many cases. And we looked at that. We saw in the book of Acts where after Jesus had gotten out of the grave and he declared in Matthew 28:18, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. What did he mean by that? He mean I have defeated not only the powers that be, and I did this through being who I am, the Son of God, coming exactly in the power and the fulfillment of what God had said in his word. But not only that, but I have satisfied the Father and everything all men had done, all the way from the first Adam up to that very second. None of them have been satisfactory to God on his standard. So only Messiah is the one who has done that. He's the only one who's lived in the life completely perfect from in conception, clear on through, let's call it from the womb to the tomb. Y'all know that's one of our favorite phrases around here. Jesus lived perfectly from the womb to the tomb. He was completely perfect without sin. So he's the only one who ever did that. And the fact is, he's the only one who ever will. You and I will not ever attain that level of perfection except that it be granted to us by God's grace. And so grace is absolutely necessary for anyone who's saved. So, but think about the whole paradigm of the first advent of Christ, the fact that he came into the world in exact accordance with God's word as it had been written. He kept on saying, as it is written, as it is written, as it is written. It's very important, as it is written. I think about one of my favorite deacon friends that I've ever been with in my time in ministry. One of his favorite things to say is, as it is written. He would always remind you, as it is written. He knew that what God had written in his word was very important. That's why Jesus said stuff like when he was dealing with Satan in the battle, he said Satan tried to tempt him to sin and not trust God. Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he said everything God wrote in his word is important. And this is how we are to persevere in this world, is through the knowledge of the word. That doesn't mean we need to be rocket scientists or Bible scholars to the point that we know every little nuance of every word in the Bible. But it does mean that we need to be taught. We need to be learners, as the term disciple, mathetes, in the Greek means we are learners. In English, it means we are learners, those who are learners. Mathetes, a learner. So you and I have been called not only to go, which is the Great Commission, to go and preach the gospel. That's good news that God has given his son, who has fulfilled the highest decree, the word of God. In other words, Jesus executed everything to make God happy and to satisfy him on behalf of all who trust in him. So God has kind of made Jesus the pivot point of everybody who is saved. You must come by Christ. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. That I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me. He was very explicit that he is the only doorway or gateway. He said, I am the door, even, to come to the Father. And so you and I need Christ. He is an integral part of our salvation. But when Jesus said, when you come, as you go and preach this good news, that's the gospel, to every creature, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's one of the sacraments that Jesus left on hand, of which there are two. Now, we got a lot of people telling us there's more than two. The scripture says that there are two, baptism in the Lord's Supper. These are things we practice throughout Christendom that will be going on to the end of time. Some people have added sacraments that are not actually taught in the scripture. So you can see that study is an important thing. It's a very, very important thing because you got so many people teaching different things. You and I need to learn to sift through those things. We need to make sure that we are in the Word and that the Word is in us. That's why James said that every good and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness. In other words, God does not change, neither shadow of turning. He's always there for us, and he's giving us what we need. He's given us understanding so that we can execute the things that we need to know. So we have to have strategies. And Paul even says to the Corinthians that we are not ignorant of your devices, of the devices of the devil. The devil works things against us, but you and I are not ignorant of his devices. In other words, we learn how to defeat the devices of the enemy. And many times that comes from worldly philosophies being added into what God said. So Jesus spent, as we said, I don't want to go too far afield, off the track here. He says that we must continue in his word. He says, if you continue in my word, in John chapter 8, let's go take a quick look at that as we get started here. John 8, in the Gospel of John, that's Big John, we would say around here. He says, speaking to some people who had believed on him, let's read here from John chapter 8, verse number 28. It says here in the KJV, then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So Jesus said, I was taught by my Father. You see that? So even the Son of God was taught. So don't get going think teaching is not critical and important. Because Jesus, the Bible says, learned obedience by the things that he suffered. So he learned obedience. You and I must also learn obedience, how to obey God, just by being taught. We have to be taught from the Father. How are we taught from the Father? When we get his word and we get a knowledge of his word. Doesn't mean even if you couldn't read, you can still sit and listen and learn from God. That's what the church should be doing, because Jesus said, go preach the gospel to every creature, baptize them. That's the second, let's call that the first ordinance in the scripture, is to baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. And then he says, teaching them once again to observe all things. That means the whole content whatsoever God has commanded us. And Jesus said, teach them to observe all things. In other words, you have to learn to observe all things that God has said in his word. Now, you know what? If you're not discipled, that won't happen to you. You need to be discipled. Going and making disciples is what God has ordained for the real church. Now, there's a lot of folks out here who try to get you off that track. And sometimes they're sincere. They have a sincerity because they realize, okay, You know, we all, I don't know what their reasons are all the time, but I hear about them, people saying these things all the time. But I just want you to be aware of the importance of discipleship. So we've looked at a couple of things here thus far. First of all, Jesus spent 3.5 years for the purpose of teaching 12 men to create this movement, which was ordained by God from eternity past, that we call the church. And the church is the called out ones, the ecclesia. The Greek is ecclesia, and the ecclesia, some people say, however you want to pronounce it. But the truth is, we're called out from the other culture all around us, from the world, and we're called to dedication to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, faith in His Son, which grants us salvation, that He provides entirely as a gift by His grace, and it also provides us the sealing of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit is given to everyone who trusts in Jesus Christ and believes that God has raised Him from the dead. And the Holy Spirit indwells you. He lives in you, and He leads you and guides you to all truth. That's what Jesus said. He said, the Holy Spirit is here with you now in John 16, but He will be in you. And so the indwelling Holy Spirit is so critical. And you receive the Holy Spirit by faith when you trust and believe the gospel, that God has given His Son, Jesus Christ, and allowed Him to be crucified, wounded for your transgressions, bruised for your iniquities, chastised for your peace, and that by His stripes we are healed. That's what the prophet writes. And so Jesus executed all of that perfectly with no flaw to the satisfaction of the Almighty. And He didn't do it for Himself. He did it for me and you. It was for Himself in one sense. And that's because the scripture says that it was for the joy that was set before Him. He endured the cross, despising the shame. So He went through it, and He hated it because it was just flat wrong. You want to talk about the most wrong thing that ever happened in the history of the world? It was for the Son of God, who was perfect and spotless before the Almighty, to be misunderstood, misjudged, spit on, mocked, ridiculed, and crucified. That's ugly. That's the ugliest possible thing that could ever have happened. But you know what? It was what God prophesied. God didn't make the people do it who did it. They did it because they wanted to, because somehow in their evil heart they found it something they wanted to do, and God just predicted that they would do it because He understood the heart of man. He knows just how twisted human beings are, that they'll be so religious and so, you know, waltzing around thinking they're so much that they would come and crucify God's own Son. God had predicted that with flawless accuracy from Genesis to Malachi. So when Jesus came, the very thing He had predicted took place, and Jesus allowed it. So that lets you see just how much He loves you. He allowed them to do those things to Him in order to be able to earn for me and you the salvation that God provides to us for free, the good news of the gospel. So being a disciple, getting back to that, Jesus took 3.5 years after the age of 30, we talked about that, in order to train 12 men to go out and be prepared to take the good news to the world. We know Judas, of course, defected and sold out Messiah, he called himself doing, and which had also accurately been predicted in the Word. And God called on board the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts chapter 9. So you can see that looking at the narrative, this is why the book of Acts is a critically important book in the scripture, because it tells us the foundation of the early church. Of course, which goes on to tell us how the church, the true church, really should be, and what the nucleus and the very foundation of the early church was. He calls Paul on board, who goes out to become the apostle to the Gentiles. In other words, he was the apostle who now will carry the gospel not only to the Jews, because God had already specified that the Christ would come to his own would receive him not. And then he would also go to the Gentiles after that. So he commissioned Paul and even told him in Acts 9 that it'll be you who takes the gospel. I've set you apart from your mother's womb to proclaim this gospel to the Gentiles. And so Paul begins to go out. Of course, Peter starts the movement when he preaches to, in Acts 10, he goes out because he went to preach to Cornelius in Acts 10. But Paul, after he got saved in Acts 9, became the apostle to the Gentiles, and of course that's where quite a bit of the New Testament comes, is from the Apostle Paul. Now Paul, as we know, and I'm still staying on this subject of education and discipleship, which is critical, because the foundation of the church is a doctrinal foundation. That's why Jesus took the 3.5 years to begin training for those 12, and he knew that the Holy Spirit would finish that work, and the work would be finished and perfected in the Spirit after Jesus had satisfied the Father and ascended back into heaven. So we see all that in Acts 1. Of course, we talked about this early on in our teaching. We said that in Acts 1, the disciples asked Jesus the question, is it at this time that you restore the kingdom to Israel? And Jesus told them, it's not for you to know the times nor the seasons that the Father has put into his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in all Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So he gave them the pattern of this teaching, the doctrine that would come from straight from Jerusalem and be disseminated out into the whole world. So we can't ever say, don't ever let anybody tell you that education and discipleship are not important. That would be one of the most ridiculous things I ever heard, because we definitely must learn to be educated in Christ. Now, it doesn't mean we have to be scholars or college students or anything, but it does mean that we should be receiving from the church who has been separated unto God for the purpose of instructing and giving sound doctrine to the church, the people, the called out ones, the ecclesia, as we mentioned. And that will be you if you're a believer, then you have been called to a life of learning, education, and implementation. In other words, how do we execute the things that we learn? How do I apply the teaching that I'm receiving to my life and to everyone around me? How do I share it with others? Because we all have a certain perpetuity is a good word. In other words, we've been called to not only hear the gospel and not only to have the equipment to learn the word of God, but also to teach the word of God and share it with others. Each of us becomes a teaching organism within the environment that God has placed us in. You know, we're all in different environments. We have different fields of influence. You have different people in your life that God is making you responsible for. He says, let your light so shine that men will see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. And all of these things are for all of the church. So the church definitely does and should, let's say, major in educational things. We have to teach the saints the things that God has said. And we're not being saved by those things. That's just the byproduct of the salvation that God has given me and you, those who trust in his Son by faith. He's given us the capability to know the word, to learn the truth. That's why Jesus told these disciples, let's go back here quickly and I'll move you on up the road. Here in John 8, once again, it says here that Jesus says in verse 26, I have many things to say unto you, to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. See, so speaking to the world the things that he has heard of the Father, that's what Jesus did. He learned from the Father, he spoke those things to the world. That's teaching. It's telling people on earth what God in heaven has said and how it applies to you. And so that's very important. I want you to see the educational aspect of this. And does he do that just for you to know it? No, he does it for you to put it into use. He teaches me and you so that we can put it into use and practice in our everyday life. So we learn. We have to learn how to put into practice the things that God teaches us by his Spirit and by his word. So this is what Jesus said is true even of him. Now, verse number 27, he says in John 8, 27, they understood not that he spake to them of the Father. See, now the people didn't catch that he was saying, I'm talking to you about God the Father. He has given me the authority to teach you what he is saying and what he means by the things that he says. So education is critical. Don't ever let anybody tell you that education and discipleship are not critical. They are very critical. You and I are to be learners. That's what a disciple is. And then it says they did not understand. So getting an understanding. Remember this, the proverb says, in all you're getting, get understanding. We need to learn to understand the things that God is teaching us. But they understood not in verse 27 of John 8 that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. So Jesus said, I'm telling you exactly what God the Father has taught me. So see the perpetuity of teaching. God has taught the Son so that the Son can speak His word into your life and in my life. He's given us His word in writing. He says the heavens and the earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. So He's given us indestructible words that come from the Almighty to study. And then He commands us, as we mentioned once again, I'm kind of taking you around here on a few of these verses, to Paul, again speaking to Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God as workman that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We want to stay in that process of education. And then how do we execute those things, implementation? How do we implement the things that God has taught us? So you and I want to be about that practice of implementation. Once you have learned a thing from God, how do you put it into use? And that's what we're talking about with this implementation. The word implementation means to put a thing that you have now learned into use, to execute it and put it out into the world. And there are tools of discipleship. And so we began to talk about those things on this past Lord's Day. And if you have questions, I want to say at this point, write down our email address, which is teachingbible@gmail.com. You can drop us an email at teachingbible@gmail.com. We'd be glad to hear from you. We have fielded a number of questions from individuals on particular subjects, and we try to get an answer out to you because it's very important. That's why Jesus said, if you continue in my word, I'm going to say this one more time. We're coming up to it here, as a matter of fact. Let's move on. The next verse in John 8, let's go to 8 and verse 29. He that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. See, that's so it was through the speaking of his words that people believed on him. And so that's critical. And he says, as he spake these words, see that the speaking of the words, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to speak God's word. The power is not in me directly. It's in the word that comes from God. Jesus did the same thing. He spoke the word that came from the Father. And as he spake these words, it says here, many believed on him. And you know why? Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10:17 says. See, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You see that? It's also education. We're teaching people what God requires and what he says, and it's very important that you and I receive faith from God through the hearing of his word. And so this is what we see as continuing pattern. You'll start to notice that all the things that God is teaching coincide with one another, and they complement one another, and you get more understanding the more you study. That's why Paul admonished Timothy. We keep going back to it, and I keep taking you around that circle. Study to show thyself approved unto God as workmen. See that? That means study hard. Workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. In other words, we could even say it's a shame if you don't study, if you don't take some time and meditate in the law of the Lord. Keep in mind that all through the scripture, you will find that those who meditate in the law of the Lord day and night, the psalmist says in the Psalter in Psalm number 1, or will be like a tree planted beside the rivers of waters that bringeth forth its fruit in its season, his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. God has promised whatsoever you do will prosper if you meditate in my word day and night. Think about that for a minute. So education is so critical. Don't ever let a person tell you, oh, you don't need education. Yes, you do. In the word, you absolutely do. You need to study to show yourself approved unto God. You need to meditate in his law day and night. And we looked at that with Joshua as a subject on this past Lord's Day. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, we're going to go to this, and I want to call you to Joshua chapter 1 one more time. He said, if you continue in my word, because some people believed on him, it says there in John 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. And then notice this, and the truth shall make you free. So if you want to be free, stay in the word. Free from what? Free from sin, free from doubt, free from unbelief, free from anything negative, anything ungodly. is going to come to you through continuing in His Word, knowing the truth, and the truth will give you victory over the things that bind you in this life. So education is hypercritical, if you don't mind if I say it. Hallelujah. It's hypercritical. We really want to know. I really want to know. There's stuff in my life that has been ingrained into my thoughts through being in this world, through the fact that the whole world is on a different agenda than what God is on. It's going in another direction, heading away from God. It's going at breakneck speed down the wrong path. Breakneck speed down the wrong path. Breakneck speed down the wrong path. And we can see it. It's getting increasingly more evil. It's setting up for the rise of Antichrist. And you and I want to have our minds so saturated in the truth of God that we understand the difference between what God is saying and what the world is saying. So how are we going to do that? We're going to have to do like Paul told Timothy, study to show yourself approved unto God. And then he says, as workmen that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So people believed on Jesus as he spake these things. And then he said, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. In verse number 31, and he said this to Jews who had believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. See that? So the truth is really what makes you free. It's not that we can be free apart from the truth. The truth will make you free. People today even twist that. I've heard so many say the truth will set you free. That is really not the word here in this text. The text says the truth will make you free. And so that's what's so empowering is the fact that when we are educated in the truth, we can implement the truth because the truth will provide for us the necessary things for us to be free from the stuff that is not satisfying to God. And so this goes back now. As we go back, let's go back to Joshua again, chapter number 1 from our study on Sunday this past Lord's Day. Joshua 1 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. So God says, I'm going to be with you. Just like I was with Moses, Joshua, I'm going to be with you. God is saying to me and you, I will be with you, as Jesus promised when he had finished that great commission that we mentioned earlier. He dispatched those disciples to go and preach the gospel to every creature. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them, see that again, to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, he said, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. He said, I'm going to be with you, just like he told Joshua, I will be with you, and I'm going to be with you just like I was with Moses. We could say he says to me and you, I'm going to be with you just like I was with Peter and James and John and Paul and all the apostles that I sent out. I'm going to be with you. Just stay in my word and teach. Go and teach. That's our principal thing as the church. So he told Joshua, I will be there. And then he had to encourage him, verse 6, Joshua 1 and 6, be strong and of good courage. See, you know why? Because the stuff he's teaching us is in opposition to everything in the world. The world will oppose you if you stay in God's word and hold it up to be the truth, which it is. It's so true that the heavens and the earth are going to pass away, but his word is not. So when we get right there in that position, it's going to put you in a position of pressure against the world. The world will have pressure against you and me because we uphold and stand in the truth. So it's the difference of what God's word says that sets you and me apart to be different than everyone else in the world. So God says, I'm going to be with you, so you need to be strong and of good courage, for unto this people shall thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Now God says, I'm still keeping my promises that I made to the fathers. You are here, your people still have not received those promises, but you need to be strong and of good courage because everything I said is going to come to pass. It's going to be something that you have to take a stand for. You and I have to take a stand for the truth because we're in a world that opposes the truth. We're in a world that hates the truth. We're in a world that teaches something else and says that there is no truth. That's your truth. This is her truth. This is his truth. They act like truth really is a flexible thing. And God says, no, my word is truth. Even in John earlier, he says, sanctify them by the truth, Jesus prayed in John 17. Thy word is truth. So we must understand the truth and stand up for the truth. And what God has said is definitely the truth. So we need to be strong and of good courage. He says, and because you are, what I'm saying is going to happen, is going to happen. It's going to put you in a position where other people in the world that have a different agenda, different philosophy, a different way of viewing life are going to be opposing you. So you need to be strong and of good courage. Now, notice in verse 7, once again, he says, only be thou strong, Joshua 1:7, and very courageous. Now, that's even more reinforcement for how you personally will have to stand when you stand for the truth, that thou mayest observe to do. So in other words, you got to learn what I said in order to be able to do what I said, according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest make thy way prosper, that thou may prosper whithersoever thou goest. In other words, you want prosperity? Learn my word, uphold my word, walk in my word. And that's a sequence of things that starts with hear my word, learn my word, walk in my word. See that? So this is how we implement the things that God teaches us. So that's why this lesson was called education. In other words, we must hear what God said, learn it. Implementation, how do we execute the things that God said? And then this becomes a tool in our discipleship to give us the stamina against falsehood, against lies, against prejudice, against all kinds of things that come against us as a result of who we are in Christ. So I hope this is helping you this evening. I know it is if you're really listening, because the Word of God, the Scripture says, it will not come back to me void, but it will accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. So God says every word I send is going to be just like the rain coming down from heaven. It's not just coming down for any purpose. It's coming to water the earth so that it can produce the things that I have started up that needs water. So in other words, God's word is watering things in your life and in your soul to produce a crop that will redound to God's glory. God says my word has a purpose in your life, and it's not going to come back to me void. In other words, just as rain comes down and produces the fruits and the crops of the earth, so will my word be that goes into your mind. It will produce in you the fruits and the crop that I desire for you to have in the world. Very important. Isn't that really awesome? I just shudder to think about how awesome that is, that God's word is going to implant things in us that produce the will of God in our lives. And so we want to go on, just like he's telling Joshua here in Joshua chapter 1. Don't turn to the right or the left. In other words, don't go doctor my prescription. I've given you what you need. My word is everything that you need. It is a lamp to your feet. It is a light unto your path. And it will produce the effect that I desire for it to do. That's what he said through Isaiah. But moving on, he says, this book of the law shall not depart from out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So good success is tied to your meditation in the truth and your execution of the truth that God is teaching. So I hope that's blessing your spirit here this evening. Now you may be convicted by that. You know, when I hear it, I'm convicted too. Because I know, you know, I'm not doing everything perfectly. But you know what it really means? And we're going to be done because our time's burning away. It really means that I need to continue to seek God's face, continue to pray, continue to confess my shortcomings. That's why the word says stuff like, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know what that is? That's really a realization that there's some stuff I'm missing out of what I'm being taught. I'm not doing it all perfectly. And you know what? I need God's help for that. And so I need my brothers and sisters in Christ to hold me accountable for that. There's things that I need, and it's the willingness to be truthful about where you are in your life and to rely on God, the Holy Spirit. That's why he said stuff like, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He's got an open door policy. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Matthew 11:28 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because Jesus has already borne the full blast of everything that God requires as far as the sin issue is concerned. So when you trust him, you come by faith, you believe that God has raised his son from the dead, which is the proof that Jesus did everything 100% correctly. Victory over the grave is the proof that he did everything 100% correctly. That's why he was able to get up in Matthew 28 and say, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. So in other words, he defeated every obstacle, every problem, every sin, every evil demon, every fallen angel, everything that was against God defeated. Jesus got up and declared, all power is given to me in heaven and earth. Every angel must bow their knee to Jesus. Every demon must bow their knee to Jesus. Every human being, the scripture says, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father, and that day is coming. You and I make preparation in full confidence when we put our trust entirely in Jesus Christ, because God has made him the propitiation. That's a big word. It means satisfaction. That Christ has satisfied God on your behalf and my behalf, everyone who believes in him, entirely. So he can give you a perfect, unblemished salvation so that you can be in a restful environment in him, resting in him, learning from him, and implementing the things that he has given you to do. Amen. We hope that that word has blessed you. In fact, I'm sure it has, because the word will not come back void. God said it will always accomplish the purpose whereunto I sent it. So I pray that this has really sparked your understanding a little bit more about education, how important it is. And even if you couldn't even read or see, you could be blind. Blind people got saved. But they were able to sit and listen, sit under the word. They were able to hear from God through the church, through the teaching and the doctrine that would go forth. And doctrine is incredibly important. It's a must. We must have good, sound doctrine in order to continue on. That's why Jude, as the book of Jude is just one chapter, but it says that we are to contend earnestly for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. That's the principal theme of the little epistle of Jude back by Revelation, just before Revelation. So contending for the faith means we understand the body of doctrine that was once delivered to the church, which is the gospel, and we are to contend for that. In other words, put up whatever fight necessary to keep that doctrine central in the lives of God's people, and also to put it out to the world for the education of other people who are not saved. So God does everything through his word. Don't ever let the enemy tell you you don't need his word, or that you don't need to study, or you do not need to meditate. All these things are the tools of discipleship. They are the things that help you and I get a grip, you and me, I should say, get a grip on the understanding of God's word and how to put it into effect. So we know this has blessed you. I don't have to say I hope this has blessed you, because I'm sure that it has. If you have listened, God's word has had an impact on you that will be a positive impact. And it will not come back to him void. It will always accomplish the purpose whereunto he sent it. Amen. So we thank God for you. We hope that you will comment, like, and share this message. And send us an email if there's any particular thing you'd like to talk about. And we will be very happy to get back with you with an answer, either on the broadcast or personally. If it's a personal matter, we'll answer it to you personally. And we thank God for you. We just completed, for those of you who are unaware, our first year of in-person services since the pandemic. Of course, the ministry of St. Timothy is over 58 years old. Of course, I haven't been there that long. My wife and I have served as the pastor at St. Timothy over the past about 8 years. But we had the pandemic. That's what we're talking about. The pandemic of 20 put the whole church out pretty much for a year. And then we went back a year ago this past Lord's Day back into in-person services again after that brief hiatus. But we are preparing for the future here. We see that God has opened a number of doors, and we're praying that you will partner with us. You can also send a donation if you like. Go on our website at teachingbible.org for information about that. We have an Amazon link on there. You can click to make purchases and allow a percentage of your purchase to be donated to the ministry. Or you can use our Cash App if you like, at Cash Tag Teaching Bible. and send a donation to help support getting good sound doctrine out into the public. Amen. So we thank God for you, and we're so happy that you joined us today. And I want to say that I think this is a critical message. We have more to say, and we'll get back into it on this large day. I'd like to invite you to be with us at 11532 Larimore Road in Spanish Lake, Missouri, which is kind of North County, in the area of 270 out that way in Bell Fountain Road, roughly rough coordinates. And we'd like to see you there, 11532 Larimore Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63138. And would be a blessing to see you in the house. Amen. So may God's best blessings be yours. May your mind be lifted up and made light by the blessing of God's word and his Holy Spirit. And we hope to see you this weekend, Lord willing. Have a blessed evening.